Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sicklin. We're Sicklin and Everett. We're the Inhaled Reviewers. Took a few weeks off, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we just needed some... It was like a... I mean, maybe not everybody agrees with this, but I thought it was kind of slow. I don't know, it was just slow. And, you know, it happens. Not every week can be a, you know, banner horror week, so.
Yeah, and, you know, and speaking of slow, I don't know how you feel about this, Ifrit, but with a few exceptions, one being the limited theatrical release in which we got to go see Color Out of Space, I feel like this has been a pretty slow slash disappointing year so far for horror. I feel like, at least theatrically, I feel like I have not seen very many good movies. Like, the best horror movie I've seen in theaters that I can think of so far this year is Underwater. And I feel like a lot of that was just, like, guilty pleasure-y fun stuff for me because I love sci-fi horror with monsters. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel like you could argue that that movie really wasn't, like, objectively amazing, but it's the best one so far to me. And, like, almost everything else has been, at best, underwhelming, at best. And now, I will say, I will put the little tidbit in there where I didn't get to see Gretel and Hansel, and I heard that that was pretty good, even though it was kind of slow and more artsy. I did hear it was pretty good, but I did miss that one.
Yeah, so. And that's what I was going to say, is, like, Fantasy Island's coming out this... Isn't it coming out tomorrow?
Oh, no, it already came out.
Yeah, that's
and,
the problem, right? It's, like, all these movies are coming out, and it's like, did that come out? Do I care? Like,
well, kinda... actually, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I heard that movie was terrible. Like, it was just really bad. It was dull, no scares, just, like, not what it looked like it was advertised as, and, like, wasn't as original-looking as it looked like. So even that one, even though I missed it, heard really bad things about it, and apparently didn't really miss anything at all in not seeing it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just been a rough year, but we're coming around the bend. This, like, we're going to finish out February strong. I believe it. The Invisible Man's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it so far.
Yeah, and then we're going to go into March, and we've got, like, not necessarily horror movies, but some pretty dark movies coming out. I think... A Quiet Place Part 2 comes out in March, which I know you're not as excited about as me, but
nope.
Hopefully we'll be good. And then you've got The Hunt, I think, comes out this month, and Bloodshot comes out this month. So some pretty fun movies. Those two aren't really horror movies, but they're kind of like dark, dark movies,
I mean,
it seems like.
If we consider Upgrade a horror movie, I think Bloodshot's going to be a horror movie.
For sure. I would consider it on par with
maybe
that,
like,
right?
Sci-fi, yeah. Horror... I don't know. It depends on how violent it is, I guess. Because at that point, that's really all you have to make it horror is, like, the body horror aspect, if there is any, and then the gore, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
And if it's anything like Upgrade, I'm gonna love it because I loved Upgrade.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies of the year it came out. Even though I didn't see it that year, but I want to retroactively go back and make it one of my favorite movies of that year.
Right. It's so much fun, and I'm hoping Bloodshot's that much fun. It looks like it goes a little bit more. Actiony than I would like. I like the low key stuff, like the low key fight scenes, close quarters, more like, you know, just barely above human strength. You know, kind of like how Upgrade does it, and how Elysium does it. Mm-hmm. Then like the over the top, I'm falling out of a skyscraper while we're punching each other. Like that doesn't get to me as much. And like it looks like there is some of that in Bloodshot, but I don't know. Hopefully it's awesome.
Yeah, but. We have a bunch of trailers that we want to talk about today. Trailers have been stacking up over the... trailers and news, I guess, just been stacking up over the last few weeks. Apparently, the director for Doctor Strange 2 left the project, or got let go of the project. And
yeah, creative differences, I think.
Yeah, there's a rumor that Sam Raimi is going to do it. And, you know, Sam Raimi is not, obviously not... It's not his first foray into a potential horror movie, nor is it his first foray. It's French. That isn't his only his first French word into comic book movies either. So I don't know. But doing a horror movie that is a comic book movie, I think Sam Raimi might be able to do a pretty damn good job at that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for Sam Raimi to take that on. I'm really hoping that because they've said this is kind of horror-centric-ish, like, Strange has a pretty deep history of having some Lovecraftian cosmic horror type stuff.
Yep.
And, like, one of his big baddies is Shuma-Gorath, which is basically a Lovecraftian god. Like, I mean, it's, he's, you know, tentacles and eyes. And so, like, it would be pretty cool if they head in that direction for it. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I think Sam Raimi could do a really good job. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. Another news we got was there's going to be a Borderlands movie. This isn't strictly horror, but the director is kind of an interesting throw-in because Eli Roth is supposed to direct the Borderlands movie coming out. I don't think anybody knows much about the setting right now, if it's supposed to follow the first game, second game, third game, any games, or if it's just set in the same kind of milieu of Borderlands, but I don't know how I feel about that one. I'm not as excited about that one, but I mean, looking at what you'd need to do for a Borderlands movie, if you were doing a live action that wasn't supposed to be like cel-shaded and kind of what I would say is cartoony or goofy, because the game gets away with a lot of that gore by being a like cartoony kind of game, right? It doesn't try to make it look realistic. It tries to has cel shading and it tries to make it look kind of over the top, right?
Yeah.
And so for a movie, if you're gonna do it in real life, I mean, Eli Roth is kind of known for his initial French word into horror of doing like Hostel, which was a pretty gross movie. I mean, he's done other stuff, yeah, but that's like the kind of level of gore we might see in a Borderlands movie at certain points. I mean, there's psychotic people eating other people a lot, and I mean, I hope it just doesn't turn into like a Hills Have Eyes movie, you know? The guns and the battles are a super big deal. The character like types are a pretty big deal, and the settings are a really big deal. So if he doesn't F it up, I will be really excited for it. Basically, it's just a wait for the trailer and see kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be more in the direction of, not a ripoff of, but more in the direction of Mad Max than the opposite direction of, like, making it more straight horror. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's horror at all. I just think, like, Eli Roth directing it might make it go the wrong direction.
Yeah, and I don't know how self-aware Eli Roth is, but I feel like he's pretty... Like, he's got kind of a good chunk of schlock that's in his movies. Like, they almost never... Just, like, they kind of, like, campy at times and, like, do goofy things in moments where, like, you wouldn't think it'd be goofy. Mm-hmm. And it makes, like, some scenes really awkward. Like, I don't know if you've seen Green Inferno, nope. But there's a scene towards the beginning where a plane crashes, where, like, their plane crashes in the Amazon or whatever, wherever they're at. South America somewhere, I think, and like after it crashes, like there's like people up, like kids screaming, and they're like, oh no, oh my gosh, and then like one person in particular is freaking out, and like one of the propellers from the brain or for the brain for the plane spoilers. Falls off and like just crushes the person, and they go splat everywhere, and it's like so random, and like the way they film it is so goofy, it like makes you laugh, but like none of the rest of the scene is silly. But and it just like throws you off, you and you're want, like, this is right? weird.
That's, like, yes. what you want.
Yeah. That's why I feel like Eli Roth might actually end up being a good fit for this.
Yeah. First glance, I was like, oh, God. And then I was like, well, maybe, because he's got a lot of good history with kind of the... It's just hard to see it in live action, I guess. I'm interested to see what they end up doing with it, you know?
Yeah, so. And video game adaptations have a really poor record.
Sonic the Hedgehog was amazing, by the way. Not a horror movie at all, but it's one of the best video game movies I've ever seen in my life. It's probably the best video game movie I've almost ever seen in my life.
Man, that's high praise.
I loved it. It was so good. Like, if you haven't Sonic the Hedgehog, go see Sonic the Hedgehog. If you've ever played Sonic or liked Sonic as a kid, you'll enjoy it.
But you haven't even seen Monster Hunter yet.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to do as good because, like, any video game project Milla Jovovich is in is, like, always going to be good, but it's not, like, going to make me feel, like, nostalgic.
And no, it's going to be entertaining, and that's about it.
Jim Carrey's Dr. Robotnik is absolute gem. It's
that fantastic. I can imagine being accurate. Yeah, that I can imagine being accurate.
On point. I don't know. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. But one other thing I wanted to mention is that we always hear news. If you're in horror news at all, you always hear news about how Robert Englund, the guy who played Freddy Krueger, is always talking about stuff. He's always in the news for some reason. He's either saying he wants to make another movie, or he would like to, this person to inherit his Freddy Krueger role, or he'd be up for another blah, blah, blah. But one of the news bits I saw about him is he's actually hosting a show on the Travel Channel, I think, or something called True Terror. And I was like, man, I want to watch that show. Like, I would love to watch a show where he, like, narrates these scary stories. Like, I'm just a sucker for that stuff, too. Like, especially when it's telling stories like lore and stuff like that. And the Haunted on Netflix or whatever that one is with, like, the people who recount their, like, haunted histories or whatever. They're just really good shows. Like, I just excited. I get excited, especially when horror people are attached to them.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, so if you haven't heard of that, keep an eye out for that, because that's going to be pretty entertaining, I bet. Because it's got a person behind it that we really like.
Yeah, so. Yeah, Robert Englund's attached, I mean, you can't go wrong, right?
This next one, so we're going to break into trailers for a second. Or not trailer, I guess Psycho Gorman doesn't have a trailer yet, but we'll just talk about that first. What about Psycho Gorman? Tell our listeners about Psycho Gorman, because you know a little more about that than I do, and you got really excited for it.
I did because, like, the director, which this might make you excited if you didn't know this, the director that's on attached to this did The Void and Leprechaun Returns.
So it's not Cronenberg, but it's his son who's, like, producing it or something?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that. The movie where that I really want to see that was Cronenberg's son... He directed it is Possessor.
Oh,
that
movie looks awesome. Sorry, wrong movie, guys. Wrong movie.
Yes, that's okay. But Possessor does look awesome, and it's already made. This one's not made yet, and it's about a like small town suburbia, and it follows two kids who discover a tomb of a sleeping alien warlord whose only goal is to destroy the entire universe. And the kids find a magical gemstone, allowing them to control the creature and embark on a crazy adventure full of cosmic action and comedy.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Guyver a lot, but it doesn't.
Oh,
it looks
yeah.
more gory than that. But I don't think it's going to be rated R. You think
it says PG on this poster? Actually,
yeah, right. Which I thought was weird, but
yeah,
it's got some really cool visual stuff. I mean, the alien looks pretty cool.
Right after
that,
and
there's
like
a scene where he's like got some blood in his hand, so. I don't know how it's rated PG.
Yeah,
he's got, like,
how they're
a
gonna
giant
pull that
bloody
off.
Sword. And there's like dismembered hands and stuff in the background, so.
And like I didn't see Leprechaun Returns, but the scenes you told me about sounded pretty gory, and The Void is pretty messed up visually.
There's
so.
That scene where that solar panel falls off the roof and just totally splits that guy in two in Leprechaun Returns, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know how he's gonna make a PG movie, but and if it'll be good because he's doing that, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
But yeah, the costuming looks pretty cool in this one, so I think it has a chance to be pretty interesting if they don't mess up.
Well, maybe the PG's a joke. Maybe that's a joke, because they're like, this is clearly not going to be PG, but we'll put it on the poster for fun.
Sure, okay.
No.
Did you get to see the Run trailer?
I did, because I had feelings about it already.
Well, let's go, because I think I'm barely remembering it, but you're going to trigger my memory.
Well, it seems like it's very closely based on that true story of Dee Dee Blanchard and Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Oh, that's right, because the whole idea is, like, she is in a wheelchair, but she, like, isn't need to be, and that was another part I thought about, we're going to talk about later, Ma. That's the familiarity part with Ma, was the whole, like, daughter being faked out to think that she was sick kind of thing.
Yes, which is very similar to this, and like, if you're not familiar, that's a true story of this lady that, faked everybody out, including her own daughter, that her daughter was super sick, and like kept giving her daughter all these like terrible things and like that she didn't need.
Like, fed her
and,
through a
like,
stomach tube, even though she didn't need to be. Like, she had it installed because like they wanted to sell it more, but the daughter didn't know that it was fake, and it's like that's really messed up.
Yeah. And so it's a pretty dark story, and it looks like Run is like a fictionalized, very loosely based on that. So it's going to be a horror thriller, psychological thriller kind of situation, but I have a feeling if you're pretty familiar with the Dee Dee Rose Gypsy, or the Dee Dee Gypsy Rose story, you're probably on the right track of pretty much understanding everything that's going
to
happen
now,
in that movie.
Now, the one thing to note about Run that's different than what I think the real-life D.B. Blanchard story in Ma is that there does look like there's either some type of supernatural or, like, subconscious weird crazy thing happening, because there's these, like, slight hallucination moments and things like that that make it seem like it's a little bit more interesting to me than just the basic kind of, like, story, you know?
Yeah.
So that could be kind of fun if they do that the right way.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think it really is just one of those where it's going to, like, I hope it's just not the same as the crap we keep seeing all year where it's, like, we're working ourselves up and then, like, one of us goes and sees it and it's, like, crap. And it's like, damn it.
We were so close.
This next one's not going to be crap, though, because I'm super excited about Spiral, which is the Chris Rock, like, Saw movie that's in the Saw universe, a.k.a. Book of Saw or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But basically they are making that movie, and I think it's going to be cool. Like, it looks like a cool new kind of take on the Saw world where it's not focusing on, like, the people getting out of the puzzle so much as the cops who are trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Maybe?
Yeah, I like the direction it appears to be going in, where it's more detective-focused and oriented. And, like, the old Saw movies did try to do that a little bit every once in a while, but there was just something missing. Like, it just always felt like a means to an end. Like, these detectives don't actually matter.
It was never about the detectives, and this one feels like it's about the detectives.
Yeah, it's not about Jigsaw. It's not a means to an end to get to Jigsaw. Like, it's like, not that Jigsaw won't be in it, it's just that that's not the point. Mm-hmm. And it feels more like it's about, like, actually trying to catch him, I guess. I don't know. And actually figure out what's going on. I don't know. I think it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah, like, figure out. Exactly. It's more of, like, the Batman detective side of things, you know, instead of the, like, crazy death sequence collector kind of side of things. I guess the collector is based off of Saw, so I shouldn't really compare those two. But you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Speaking of weird stuff, I'm going to throw one in here. Did you, like, there's, like, a bunch of reactions to people who, like, the people who saw the stuff about Robert Pattinson's Batman suit and, like, how they're like, oh, this is going to be so shitty, or people, like, really excited, and they're like, oh, it's going to be a more detective-y Batman, or it's not going to be, and blah, blah, blah. So, basically, if you're not following the Batman, the Robert Pattinson Batman thing, just don't follow it at the moment, because everyone's just blowing up talking a bunch of stuff, and nobody knows what they're talking about. So, just give it some time.
Yes, I am convinced at this point that, like, when it comes to, like, superhero movies, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because times where I thought they nailed it, like, in casting, where I was like, oh, cool, Ryan Reynolds is Green Lantern? How could it go wrong? And, like, then that being just an absolute debacle, but then you have Heath Ledger's Joker, and I was like, that's the dumbest casting ever when that came out. I was like, that is so stupid. And then it ended up being, like, one of the best performances in a comic book movie ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've decided to, like, withhold judgment until I've actually seen it, because he could blow it out of the water. All those people could, because there's a lot of controversial castings in that movie.
I stopped paying attention because they kept talking about, like, how, like, 30 villains were going to be in it, and they kept putting people and casting as villains that were, like, nonsensical. So I was like, whatever, I'm not paying attention to this anymore. I'm just going to see it when it comes out.
Yep.
So, but anyway, there's two things that I want to talk about here. We're going to talk about the Candyman trailer real quick, but this is another instance. The Candyman trailer, Antebellum, The Hunters, there's just so many things out right now that just have Jordan Peele's production name on them. It's getting to frustrating, because, like, basically...
You think they're just name-dropping?
Yeah, that's all it is. So, like, yeah. The Hunters could be good. It's a show on, like, I think Amazon or something like that. It's about these Nazi killers, but...
I've watched the first two episodes.
Do you like it?
It's pretty good.
Okay. I've heard it's, like, pretty gory, and it's, like, kind of fun. It's kind of... It just reminds me of The Boys that's not set in superhero world.
That's pretty similar, yeah.
So, like, cool. That's good. I mean, Jordan Peele is associated with stuff sometimes, and that's good, but, like, Candyman trailer just came out, and people are, like, flipping their lid, and I just watched it today, and I was like, this is dumb. Like, it looks kind of... So, there's parts... Sorry, it's not dumb. there's parts that I'm really excited to see about it. Like, I like the guy, like, the artist's kind of, like, Velvet Buzzsaw decline into his mental sickness. That's going to be, I think, a cool part of that story. But it looks like they're just cheaping out on the Candyman himself. Like, there was a scene in the trailer, and I don't care if you haven't seen it, because you're going to watch it eventually. If you don't, then you're going to know about this anyway, because I'm talking to you about it. Where, like, someone's getting, they're trying to escape this building, and they get, this Candyman's chasing them, and they grab their legs, but the Candyman's not there in real life, but you can only see the Candyman in the mirror, and it's, like, the biggest PG-13 cop-out I've ever seen in a movie. Like, it's kind of like what you thought with The Grudge, where they, like, basically made it arm post. This movie is just like, well, we didn't want to spend a ton of money on the... We had to get Jordan Peele associated with it, and, like, even though he's producing, like, we still had to do all this stuff, and it just feels really cheap right now. I don't know.
It does to me, too. It feels like formulaic mainstream horror right now, and it could, you know, end up surprising, but right now I'm not seeing it. Mm-hmm. And while I'm not, like, super on board with Antebellum at least looks really original to me.
I have no idea, like, what it's about, though. That's the problem.
That's why it's awesome.
But they just put Jordan Peele's name on it, and then they made this random nonsensical trailer, and it's like they're expecting
people to... It's the Christopher Nolan of horror movies.
Oh, my God. That makes me want to see it so much less. It's to me, the Antebellum trailer is the epitome of why people are just putting names on stuff. Like, it means nothing. Nothing about that trailer has helped me want to understand if I want to see that movie. At least when I saw the trailer for that Sweet movie, or what was it? Not Sweet, the movie that is the new Nolan movie that's, like, about...
Tenet?
Like, Tenet, yeah. Is, like, I was like, okay, well, I have a good idea of what this is about. I'm still going to hold it against it that it's Christopher Nolan, but I might go see it. But with Antebellum, like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to just go see it because Jordan Peele's attached to it? No, I'm not going to do that. Like...
Yeah, you don't get to just attach, throw a name, and then just, like, manipulate me like that. Because, like, it's one thing when you actually, when the name carries weight, but the more that they keep doing this, the less weight it carries.
And that's my main problem, and is that by the time Jordan Peele, like, he's going to be associated with four more things, I'm going to be like, whatever. Unless he's directing it, I'm not going to see it.
And we don't have to get into it, but, you know, for the record, I do love Christopher Nolan, and you know that, but I want our listeners to know that.
They already know it. You're such a fanboy. Every time we talk about him, you, like, have to go out of your way to mention how much you want an SSD. So you saw Brahms, right? Brahms the Boy 2?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It sucked.
how about this next movie, Polaroid? How was that?
That also sucked.
Which one was worse?
Brahms.
Brahms.
I feel like Brahms cheapened the first one, and I think the first one actually had a pretty fun twist to it.
Yeah, right? I thought that too, and I know the whole movie is kind of a little bit long. Like, I feel like that should have been a short story, or like a short film, or like a part of an anthology, the first movie. Because it could have been done very quickly, and interestingly, right? Or do you not think so? Okay. And like, then maybe it would be cool to do a second one. If, like, you didn't invest so much time in the twist of the first one. Because there's this kind of, like, inverse relationship between, like, if the twist is good enough, it can justify an entire movie. But if you go and make a movie, a second movie, or a prequel that totally messes up that twist, it just wrecks everything, right? Kind of like the opposite of Annabelle Creation. Like, Annabelle Creation did a pretty good job of establishing, like, the pre-area of Annabelle. So it didn't, like... destroy the first movie by making a prequel, right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Like, this movie just totally wrecked the first one, though.
In my opinion, like, I think it cheapened what the twist, but it also kind of... But, like, I mean, that's also kind of how... I should have seen it coming, because it didn't make any sense for it to not do what it did. Like... I mean, what else were they going to do? Retcon the whole first movie? I mean, that is kind of what they end up doing, basically, but it's just like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, right? I feel like the same way. Like, I was like, oh, I should go watch that. I like the first one. And then I started watching the trailers, like, more in depth than just like, oh, there's a movie coming out and I know the name, right? I started watching them and I was like, are they, like, making this doll the source of the original, like, craziness in the first movie when they did the whole thing to make it not kind of be that way in the first movie? And it's like, are they, like, retconning their own movie? like just to make a sequel.
Yeah, and that's basically what happened. And then it just was an incredibly formulaic, standardized, orthodox, just bland horror movie. And I don't know, it was nothing. And I'm telling you, for a movie that like has that formula of just like, let's have a methodical pacing and we'll just get this thing moving along, and then every 15 minutes we'll have a big jump scare. It had, like, no scares in it. It had, like, one jump scare in it.
Worst.
It was so dumb.
Because then you're waiting for a bunch of stuff to happen, and it never does. And you're like, what am I doing in this theater right now?
Yeah. Oh, I was in the corner of the theater, and there wasn't anybody within, like, four seats of me, and I was in the very back. And so I was, like, very tempted to get my phone out and, like, cover it up with my coat and just, like, goof around on my phone. I was like, this is such a waste.
Oh, that sucks. Because when you get to see a movie, it sucks if it's bad, so. But the other part I was going to say is the whole premise of that movie seems like a side premise of a real good haunting movie, like Poltergeist or something like that, right? The whole premise of Brahm the Boy 2 seems like a subplot of a normal haunting movie. Like, oh, there's like this doll that's messing with this kid's mind, and that's part of the reason that this haunted house is all messed up, right? Like, but when you're focusing on that one plot point for the entire movie, again, it should just be a short, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like they were trying to squeeze a whole glass of lemon juice out of a tiny lemon there.
It just wasn't well done. It felt so cheap.
Now, before we're over time, but I want to talk about Polaroid real quick, because Polaroid is based off, like, this is another one of those ones that was, like, based off of a short film.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, because we were talking, I don't know if you agreed with what I said about Brahms, or The Boy being a short film, and, like, it would have been kind of more interesting as a real quick, intense, like, short film, because the twist would have been, like, quadruple the impact if you saw that in, like, a 15-minute movie, right? Like, I don't know. That's how I feel about it, anyway.
If you're interested in Polaroid, just go watch the short, and you'll save yourself an hour of your life.
And honestly, the Polaroid short isn't actually that good anyway.
It's not. It's got a decent scare in it, but it's not that great. So, so I do have some huge qualms. So, like, the biggest issues I have with Polaroid, like, because overall, I mean, it was fairly well produced for a very, like, predictable horror movie. Like, they did a decent job of putting it together, but I hate it when the ghost or whatever of the movie breaks the laws of physics in one scene and then doesn't and then can't the next scene for no good reason. So like when it's banging on a door because they can't get through, but then it just like magically appears down a hallway that they were running down away from it in the next scene. Like I hate that. I hate it when, like, it's, like, it has to follow the rules of, like, going through walls in one scene and then doesn't the next.
I feel like that happens, subtly in, like, 99% of all movies. Like, there's always
which is what I don't like. I like it when they follow rules.
But that, and Marvel movies don't even follow their own rules the majority of the time. Like, I feel like I'm sorry. Let me preface this by saying I agree with you. But I've gotten to the point where if I picked that out of every movie, I'd be frustrated with almost every movie I watch. I feel like
it's true, but it was just very blatant to me in this one. And
that's
I don't
a good point.
Okay, now this was a huge one for me. So in horror movies, a lot of the time that like you know they'll have a moment where they're trying to prove it to somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know something always falls through, like the oh my gosh, look, the ghost isn't in the picture anymore or whatever, you know, like it falls through and it's like okay, that's kind of a cheap trope, but fine. In this one, they have ample evidence of a regularly occurring supernatural act that they can control that they never, ever even consider trying to show to anybody. Like,
so
they have regular run-ins with the cops. They have regular run-ins with the cops, and they never go like, hey, look, if I burn this photo, my arm starts burning because I'm in the photo. Like, they never do it. And then they, like, stop burning the photo, and it, like, automatically, like, regenerates itself. It's like, just show somebody that.
Yeah.
Like, you used this thing to stab somebody's hand by stabbing a pencil through the photo. Show somebody how it works. And, like, they will believe you, or at least be like, whoa, something crazy is going on. but they never even consider it. None of them even mention the idea of, like, what if we just showed this to somebody? Like, what's happening to
what
us?
What would be the outcome, it infuriated though, if me. They did that? Like, what's...
I mean, that's a great question, but they should have at least tried. Mm-hmm. And, like, for example, the sheriff of the police is, like, directly involved with the entity's past, mm-hmm. and they never... Like, they confront him at one point, but all they do is just tell him what's going on. They never show him. And it's like, you could have saved a lot of time with this guy if you'd have just showed him what's going on.
And it could have been a cool scene, too, where they're like, you don't believe me? And they, like, do something, and it, like, fucks one of their friends up, pardon my French. But, like, and they're like, oh my god, sorry, Tim, I did that, but I had to prove to the sheriff really dramatically, because this is a movie, that I would stab you if I stabbed your picture. Yeah, that could have been a really cool scene.
Yeah, and it just really irritated me that they, like, there's, like, so many of the scenes were involved where, like, it's directly affecting their lives, and they just never choose to do anything about it to prove it to anybody.
Yeah, I feel this, it just sounds like it suffers from, like, the whole, I don't know, every criticism we could have of any movie we didn't like. That sucks.
Are you going to watch it?
No. I can't couldn't even find it, and I thought it came out, so Polaroid's been pissing me off because every time I'm like, oh, what movies came out this year, Google? It's like Polaroid, and I'm like, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well then, spoilers, because, like, I did like the ending. The last, like, 15 minutes or so of the movie have some pretty cool scenes. Like, the sheriff, they end up taking a picture of the sheriff, and, like, obviously, so anybody who gets their picture taken by this haunted camera gets killed by this ghost. And the ghost, like, they take a picture of the sheriff because they think he's bad. It ends up he's not. And that he was actually a really good guy. But right after you find out he's a really good guy, the ghost picks up his picture and tears the picture in half, so it tears the sheriff in half.
Oh, shit.
And, like, that part's pretty cool. And then at the end, the girl, like, takes a picture of the ghost while it's, like, trying to kill her. And then she grabs it and, like, crumples it up in her hand, and so it, like, snaps all its bones, and it, like, gets, like, crumpled up into this pile on the floor. But it doesn't kill it, so it starts, like, crawling at her, like, with all of its, like, joints and stuff all jacked up all over the place.
Wait.
And so then she has
to,
like...
The ghost crumples its own bones? Or is it just following the rules of the picture thing?
It has to follow the rules of the picture. So, like, any...
So it kills who's in the picture, but also if something happens to the picture, that happens to the person as well.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, like, that's the rule. So, like, the only way to kill it was to, like, take a picture of it and then destroy the photo. Mm-hmm. So she crumples it at first, and all it does is, like, crumple it onto the floor, but then it still tries to come at her. So then she ends up having to burn it, but, like, part of her hand is on the photo, too.
Mm.
So, like, burns her hand while it's burning it. It was pretty cool.
Oh,
like, that part was cool. The rest of it was garbage.
That does sound pretty cool, actually.
It was.
I kind of
want
to watch it
cool.
to see the sheriff get ripped in half.
It's not great, because I'm pretty sure the movie's PG-13, but it was just a cool idea. Yeah. Like, you just see this, like, you just see part of him just get torn in half. You're like, oh my gosh, whoa.
Okay, well, maybe it's not as bad as, you know... The abomination that is,
Bronx.
We just talked. Yeah, Bronx.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, it was probably, which sucks because I saw it on Netflix. The other one I had to actually, like, spend 3 hours of my life to, like, drive to the movie theater and watch it. So.
And now you're like, God, I'm so much more bitter about that. All right, we're way over time. But thanks for listening, everybody. You know, if you're excited about those movies, talk to your friends about them. If you watched the Proms or Polaroid and had different feelings, you're wrong. You know, supporting No Sleep Strike. All right.
Woo.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.
See ya.